Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the show, my friend. We are currently recording what may be the strangest episode to date.
On the world's smallest microphone.
I wish you could see us right now. So first of all, let me set the stage for you. I am here with my husband, Patrick.
Hello.
And we just got back from a long weekend at the beach, little family vacation. And I desperately wanted to record this episode for you. So it is after 8 p.m. at night. We just put our toddler down to bed, and we are both huddling over this teeny tiny microphone, desperately wanting to go to sleep, but not doing so until we share this story with you. Today's episode is going to be unlike any other episode we have ever shared on the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast before, because today we are sharing our adoption story with you. We have attempted to record this approximately three different times. Patrick's saying once. Okay, so at least three times in my head. I had planned to record it. One time we actually sat down to the microphone, recorded it, and then decided not to share it in the end. I think because we were just too new on the adoption scene. It just didn't feel right. But here we are. It's been a couple of years since we navigated the adoption of our son, and I think we're ready to share the story.
Yes.
So I guess we'll start at the beginning. What better place is there to start? Patrick and I waited intentionally about 5 years after we got married to start growing our family. And I grew up in a fostering family and just immediately saw the amazing love that can be shared with children who are in need of a home, are in need of safety, are in need of a family to welcome them with open arms. And so I always kind of thought that in growing a family, I would want to consider fostering and or adopting. But then as Patrick and I started, kind of thinking through our family plan, I also navigated a stress fracture in my spine, which I've talked about many, many times before here on the show, because that stress fracture was due to me eating insufficiently, underfeeding my body, overtraining my body. Long story short, resulted in a stress fracture and what ended up being 3 years of chronic back pain. And if anyone has ever experienced chronic pain of any kind, you know that it is a really dark, dark place to be. And you will do anything to get out of that dark place. So when I finally started healing my spine and I was able to kind of get out of that pain place, some of the professionals that I was working with at the time did advise me that becoming pregnant and just the posture that it would put you in could put some stress on my spine. And thinking through how that would leave me feeling when I was pregnant, postpartum, trying to take care of a newborn, it just felt like it wasn't in the best interest of me and or our future children to go through with a pregnancy. Does that feel accurate?
Yes.
So at that point, we started looking into fostering and adopting a little bit more seriously. And I would say a couple of years ago, this was happening. And do you think we were naive to what adoption was, exactly what it looked like when we first started exploring?
I don't know about naive. I think it's easier to say that now just because we know so much about it. We could say we were naive to what it has become. No, I mean, I think there's a lot to know or a lot to research if you're going to do it. We would tell you that now, but naive, no, I think just, yeah. just new to the process, new to everything that was involved with it.
I think we were uninformed.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to put it. So we had a lot to learn. I think that's safe to say. And one thing that really, really opened our eyes, like when we started doing research, is that there are a lot of organizations and adoption agencies who maybe are not doing things exactly ethically. And that kind of like was really eye-opening for us to realize is adoption can be, albeit a traumatic experience for everyone involved, but it can also be a very beautiful thing. And it can be a very like necessary thing and a right thing for a lot of birth moms and a lot of birth parents and a lot of hopeful adoptive parents. What we would say, I think, in hindsight, looking back on, you know, when you're choosing an agency or when you're choosing an adoption consultant, do your research. Like, know who you're working with, know where the funds are going, know how they treat their birth parents and the resources that they provide for them, because not all agencies and organizations work the same. And I think we were really, really glad that we had done the research that we did, because when we started dipping our toes in the water, you know, we would just do Google searches like, I don't know, anyone would when they're first trying to explore a new topic that they don't know a ton about. And, you know, some of the big names that popped up initially seemed really alluring. But then when we started diving deeper, we were like, ooh, this doesn't feel great for us, because we want to make sure that, you know, when we do embark on this adoption journey, everyone is being cared for. Everyone is being considered. Everyone is being valued as they should be. What would you add?
I don't know if I have anything to add to that. Like, maybe it's the two big points that you touched on. One, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we get in this episode, is just like the relationship we have with Cole's birth parents. I think, you know, a lot of people are surprised by the relationship we have with them, but I think part of that is probably due to the fact of doing that research and realizing what organizations and adoption agencies, like how they correspond with the birth moms and how that process is presented to the birth parents or mom in that situation. So I think that is part of the reason we maybe are able to have the relationship we have with Cole's birth parents, is, you know, they had a good relationship with the adoption agency, and certain things that agency did allowed, I think, for that relationship to be where it is at today. And then blanket sort of on the second thing.
Well, I think those are the two big things that I would say anyway. It's like, do your research and make sure that you are partnering with people and organizations that are going about the adoption process in an ethical way, in a way that you feel good about. Two, do your research on the difference between open and closed adoption. That was something else that we were just uninformed about. I think a lot of adoption that's portrayed in media, or maybe it's just like older generations of adoption before we had the knowledge and the research that we do now, depicts closed adoptions. And what that means is, you know, you are going through the process where records will be sealed. And so the adoptee will not have information about his or her birth parents or birth mother, and there will be no contact, no communication between the family of origin, the birth family, and the adoptive family. And when we started doing our research into the world of adoption, we realized just how much amazing research and the large quantity of research there is today to show that open adoption, which is very much the opposite, where you have an open line of communication between the family of origin and the adoptive family, the adoptee has the ability to communicate just like the adoptive parents have the ability to communicate with, you know, one or both birth parents, and there's a relationship there. But the research shows that an open adoption is what is best for the adoptee most of the time, like a strong majority of the time. They just have this kinship with their family of origin. You know, they have answers to their questions and just an open line of communication. Now, that looks different for everybody. So one thing that we learned quickly on in the process is the birth mother gets to choose the level of openness that she feels is right for her. And so maybe one birth mother will say, I want as much communication as possible. Like, I would love updates and I would love photos and I would love visits. And then perhaps a different birth mother will say, I would love one, you know, annual update, and I don't want visits. So obviously the birth mother is the one who is deciding what level of openness she feels is best for her. And then it's the adoptive family's job to honor that.
Yes. I think that can be a little agency dependent. Like, I think when we were looking at certain agencies, they might have tried to have a say in what that openness would look like instead of the birth mother. And that's something we wanted birth mom or birth parents in this situation to really have the say in. So that is, you know, as you go through research and look into that, that's something you can just ask the agencies and do a little more deeper dive.
Something else to consider too is that you don't have to work with just an agency, or you don't have to work with an agency exclusively. So one thing that our team kind of helped us to figure out is you can work with adoption agencies, which tend to have like longer wait lists. You can also choose to work with an adoption consultant, which we chose to do the first time. It worked out really well for us. And or you can choose to work with an adoption attorney. So lots of information. Obviously, we just want to share a little bit with you in this episode, but do your research. Make sure that you feel really good about the organizations you're working with. Make sure that you feel really crystal clear on who gets to decide what level of openness the adoption will move forward with. And I think that those are like two of the big, big things that we would want to impress upon anyone who was considering adoption or was just curious about how the whole process worked. Like Patrick alluded to, we have a beautiful, beautiful relationship with our son Cole's birth parents. And I think this kind of goes along with how adoption used to be portrayed. Like, a lot of people will use the phrasing, give your child up for adoption, which in the current adoption world is not appropriate verbiage. The birth mother, and sometimes both birth parents are involved, the birth parents are choosing to place their child in a home. They're choosing us to parent their children. So it's more of a placing as opposed to like a giving up, because in a lot of these situations, you know, the birth parents want to be involved. Perhaps they're just in a situation where they don't have the means or they don't have the ability, whether that's physically, mentally, you know, monetarily, to care for this child or children. What would you say about our relationship with Cole's birth parents?
Oh man, it's an amazing thing. It's really hard to describe or put into words because it is such a awesome thing. I think when I talk to people, I always tell them it's hard to believe. I don't think either of us could believe how two people could enter our lives and they could become family to us so quickly. And that's what they really become. You know, they are, I feel like they're an extension of our family. And once again, they are Cole's birth parents, but in all reality, we text all the time. And I feel like they're super involved every day with what he does. And it's just a joy to have them in his life, in our life.
Yeah, they're like two of the greatest people ever. When we first started the adoption process, like Patrick alluded to earlier, you have to start with the home study. And that means people come into your house, they check up on like your mental health, your physical health, the health of your household, like whether you have pets or you have other people living with you. You have to do background checks and fingerprinting, and it's like a mountain of paperwork, right? Like, that's the biggest, most tedious part of the adoption process, I think. That took us about a month. So the first time we set out to adopt, we started in January. So by February, we had completed our home study, and then you are officially on a wait list. Whether you're working with a consultant, agency, or agencies, an adoption attorney, like, you are just in the waiting game. And the timeline that they gave us was about 6 months to 2 years. And you have no idea how long it will take. And for us, it happened very, very quickly. So in July, we received a phone call that two birth parents had viewed our profile book, which is basically like a little snapshot of who we are, pictures of, you know, our pets and pictures of us and our extended family and what we want for our family moving forward, and how we will care for this child and the promises that we will keep to our future child's birth parents. So they had reviewed our profile book and they wanted to have a phone call with us. And we don't know these people, right? Like, we didn't know what they look like. We didn't know anything about them. We didn't even know their names at first. And, you know, imagine preparing yourself for a phone call like that. I remember you and I were sitting on my office floor, right? We just needed to ground ourselves or something. And we, like, got a call from these people that we didn't know, but they were the sweetest people ever. Like, we immediately connected with them. Like you said, I don't think we've ever connected with two people quite as quickly. We just wanted the same things for our future children. And at the time, birth mom was pregnant. They knew that, you know, placing this child for adoption would be the best option for them. We respected that entirely. And, you know, we just kind of got to know each other a little bit, like our upbringings, how our morals and values, you know, things like that, our interests. And I don't know, like 30 minutes, 45?
Yeah, it was longer. I thought it was going to be in every good possible way. But yeah, it was just, I feel like time just went on and we just kept talking and it got more and more comfortable as that first phone call can be.
So awkward though, but like as comfortable as awkward can be. Yeah. And then we got off the call, right? Like no decision was made. We wanted them to walk away with our conversation, sit with it and, you know, kind of make sure that they felt really good about their decision. But shortly after, we got a text from our adoption attorney and she was like, they feel so good about the match. They want to move forward. This is happening. So at that point we were over the moon and Cole was born literally like a month later.
From that call? No, I thought it was like 6 weeks.
Was it six weeks from that call? Which is very short.
Yes, let me tell you, that is not the normal expectation.
But it, I mean, there was kind of a lot involved there. Like Cole arrived a little bit early, birth mom was induced. There was a lot of things at play where it kind of sped up our timeline. But in a matter of weeks, we were holding this baby boy in our arms and he forever became a part of our family, as did his birth parents. And we are just so thankful for the, I think it's unconventional. Like I don't imagine there are many open adoptions that feel quite as like intimate and familial as ours does. I don't know. Maybe that's just my perception.
The more we tell our story like this, the more times we hear about this. You know, I just don't think it's something that's talked about a lot either. It's sort of like kept in a little bit. And for certain reasons, sometimes that's the case. But I think the more time, like, you know, we talk to our attorney and they've adopted and they have a really good relationship with birth mom and some extended family. So I think it is probably a little more, I don't know if common is the right word, but it's out there. I just don't think it's talked. Once again, there's always this other stigma sometimes associated with adoption. And hopefully stories like this can sort of change that stigma a bit or rewrite what it sounds like to you.
Yeah. We just want people to know it's possible. Yeah. Like it's one of the most beautiful relationships we've ever had the privilege of being a part of. And we're so excited for what that means for Cole as he gets older. We text almost every day. I mean, just little updates, pictures, videos. We are visiting them multiple times a year. I mean, they live about 7 hours away from us, so within driving distance, but it's not next door. And, you know, we've invited them to Cole's big events. We've gone to spend weekends with them. And it's just so great for him to grow up knowing like, oh, hey, you know, that's my mom and that's my dad. And I have a mom and dad at home too. Like it's just so cool to see that unfold. And I hope that as he gets older, he will appreciate having the ability to know, you know, both of his moms and both of his dads.
Yeah. And when we say visits, this is like the four of us sitting at Airbnb, like laughing and having food and just hanging out like one big family sometimes.
Yeah. And there's the whole like legality side too, which I don't think we really need to go into, but no. You know, Nicole was born, and then you have to do a post-placement visit, which basically is the social worker coming out and being like, is everybody happy? Is everybody healthy? Like, is this working for everyone? And then, you know, there's parental rights that have to be signed over. But a couple of months after baby is born, if you're adopting a newborn, of course, there's the adoption of older children as well, then everything becomes legal. You have a court date, and like, then we have parental rights, which Cole's birth parents know and do not try to like interfere with whatsoever. They understand that like you are legally his parents. We do not want to make, you know, these decisions that override your decisions. It's our choice as like two individuals who have an open adoption that we welcome them into our family. And we say like, no, we want your input. We want you to, you know, have a say and be a part of our family, basically. So it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience for us. Cole is coming up on 2 years now. So it's been two years since we first met Cole's birth parents and since we started this whole adoption process. It's not all like roses and rainbows. No. We have also done an extensive amount of research on like the trauma that is adoption, because Cole was separated from, you know, his birth mother, and he is like navigating that in his own way. Like, obviously he's not old enough to verbalize that yet, but we're, you know, actively going to get him in therapy as soon as he's old enough to kind of digest that and talk through that with someone. It's traumatic for everyone involved, and we're not naive to that. It's something that we are constantly working at, you know, trying to make it the best choice for everyone involved based on, you know, what Cole's birth parents decided was best for them and based on, you know, the love that we have to give. So we were so impressed with the process, and we wanted to grow our family and make Cole an older brother, that we started a couple of months ago the adoption process again. Do you want to tell everyone what happened?
I'm trying to think how to piece this together from a timeline. So we started the process, you know, we got through, you have to, every year you have to renew your home study if you haven't yet. So we went through that, went through the paperwork, did all that again. And then as we were getting through that, we said, you know, we have the relationship we have with Cole's birth parents. So we're going to let them know, hey, we're starting this process. We really want Cole to have a sibling just because, once again, they're sort of part of our family. So we keep them updated. And we sent a text over to explain that. And they said, what about us? And I think we both...
They said, would you consider us to give Cole a sibling?
And I think we both sort of like stopped in our tracks. Well, we didn't know. We never thought that was a possibility. It was sort of like stunned, just trying to think through it. You know, there's a lot within that from some history stuff that we need to talk through and have a discussion with them and just really see where their mind was at. And because we never wanted to ask them to do something that they were uncomfortable with or just didn't feel right for them. So we had a couple phone calls just to see where everybody's head was at. And they were amazing, awesome phone calls. And once again, which was really special. And yeah, from there, we decided this would be the route, would be to a second adoption with Cole's birth parents to give Cole a full biological sibling.
So we're adopting again.
We are adopting again.
And after having this again, very like life-altering conversation on the phone with Cole's birth parents, we basically ended the call by saying like, so let's go make a baby.
Have a baby.
We're going to, you know, add another family member to the crew. And as of this podcast recording, Cole's birth mom is pregnant again with his sibling. She is just out of her first trimester. Things are going really well so far. This is so unconventional because it's sort of like surrogacy meets adoption. In Cole's situation, he was a surprise. They were not planning on getting pregnant. You know, he'd kind of was the miracle baby. And in this case, they had intended to get pregnant with the end goal of placing this child in our home as Cole's sibling. So a very, very unorthodox situation that, again, like we couldn't have dreamed of, but we are so thankful for this opportunity One, because one of our biggest concerns with adopting, again, was not having a similar relationship with our next child's birth parents, and that child not having a similarly open relationship with his or her birth parents or birth mom. And we just thought it would be something that we were willing to navigate, but very difficult to say, hey, you know, Cole has this relationship with his birth mom and dad, but you may not, you know, you don't. And that was just going to be something that would be difficult for everyone to navigate. So the fact that we get to grow our family together and now have, you know, more love to pass around and to just grow the relationship we already have with Cole's birth parents is such a blessing for us. And wild, like wild beyond our imagination and our dreams, like just nothing that we ever thought would be reality. So baby number two is coming in November. Yeah.
At least that's the due date.
Yeah, we'll see when they actually decide to make their debut.
Last time, so.
So we are so excited. We are also trying to soak up life with just one, because apparently one is one and two is 10. That's the advice you heard.
Yes, advice my boss. One is one, two is 10, three is many.
So we wanted to share this major life update with you because it's something that I didn't hear a lot of people talking about growing up. And we know that our story is one that is, you know, relatable to many. But also I get a lot of questions about people asking, you know, maybe they're navigating their own fostering or adoption journey and they're just curious. I just think it's something that isn't talked about a lot. There is a lot of stigma associated with it. Obviously, everyone's story, everyone's journey is going to be very different, but we're happy to help in any way that we can. And we thought maybe sharing our story would be helpful. And or maybe you were just curious, you know, about following along with our latest life update. One thing that we haven't really mentioned that did also catch us by surprise when we initially started the adoption process was the financial component. So I will be the first to say, like, I was completely blind to the financial costs associated with adoption. And after learning, like seeing them all broken down, it makes sense. And this is again where, you know, I think we circle back to make sure you do your research, make sure you know like where the funds are going. Because with some of those adoption agencies we looked at in the beginning, there were a lot of funds going to things like advertising for the agency, not even necessarily like advertising anything that had to do with, you know, your family as being a prospective adoptive family. And that just didn't really sit right with us. I think the current numbers right now for the average adoption, and we're talking about domestic adoption. There are also international adoptions, which we're not as familiar with. But for domestic adoption, the average cost is like $30,000 to $60,000.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little higher than that.
Like 40 to 60.
40 to 60. And you know,
that's dependent on a lot of things. So.
Very dependent on like birth mother expenses, very dependent on like whether you use one agency, multiple agencies, an adoption attorney, a consultant, all that stuff. Whether you're matched with a birth mom or birth parents at the very beginning of her pregnancy or towards the end of her pregnancy, like there's just a lot of moving parts. So because we knew that adoption was the route that we were meant to take, we did our research very early on. We were fortunate enough to be able to save and allocate some funds to our first adoption. This one caught us a little bit off guard, so we're pursuing some alternate routes in addition to like applying for grants that are out there in conjunction with, you know, savings. We're also crowdfunding, which is something that we are so new to. We have no idea what we're doing, but we are using a website called Adopt Together to help raise funds for the second adoption, in addition to just provide updates for people who want to know about the process. So for example, I just posted an update in there that we found out baby's due date is the end of November. And I'll be sharing in there soon that, you know, we have a doctor's appointment coming up in the next couple of weeks where we're going to find out the sex of the baby. So we're so excited. But if you are interested in staying up to date with those kind of like new releases and new information as we learn it throughout this adoption process, definitely visit our profile on the Adopt Together website. I'll put the link in the show notes below, and you can just stay tuned there. Whether you are a praying person, or you're a positive vibe person, or you're like a well wishes, high vibe energy person, I don't care what you do, send them to everyone involved. So birth parents, birth mom, birth dad, they are both involved, heavily involved in, yes, in our family. Also this little baby that's coming into the world, Mr. Cole, as he learns how to be an older brother, as well as, you know, our family. Just keep us in your thoughts, your energies, your prayers. And if you are in a position where you're able to also assist financially, that would mean the world to us. But that is not something that we expect in any way, shape, or form. We are just excited to kind of invite a community around us this time, because we know that it takes a village, and we could not have done this without all of the people in our corner. We are working with an amazing adoption agency with two amazing adoption attorneys. We, like I said, used a consultant the first time around, which I think had things gone differently, we would have done again.
Yes. Yeah, she was awesome.
We have an amazing social worker. My parents are, you know, invaluable child care. So we understand that this really is about the community that you have around you. And we are so fortunate for those of you who listen, who follow along on social media, and who have just supported us relentlessly. So we wanted to say thank you. And we wanted you to hear it here first, that we are adopting again.
Number two.
If you have questions about adoption in general, if you're just curious about our journey, because I know at the beginning of our journey, I reached out to a couple of former coaching clients who were basically the only people I knew who had adopted recently. And I was just kind of picking their brains with questions and kind of feeling like a nuisance, like, hey, you're the only person I know. Can you, you know, shed some light on this for me? I am happy to be that person. Patrick is happy to be that person.
Yeah, we're always happy to like sit down and have an off-air conversation if this is something you're really interested in and you just want to pick our brain. We're more than willing to sit down and just have a conversation with you.
100%. I know Cole's birth parents have told us multiple times that, you know, they just feel so blessed to have us in their lives. It is 100% mutual. We feel so blessed to have them and consequently Cole in our lives. And we just feel the same way about you. And we are just so thankful to have you in our lives as well. So thanks for following along with the journey. And like I said, click the link in the show notes below and stay tuned for future updates. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.